Welcome, welcome, welcome. I know, that's my John Oliver voice. This podcast is called Courage to Rise. The mission of this podcast is to discuss working from home and what makes all people excel in the tech workspace. These conversations are broad and fun, like your current life. Even with high-spirited music, maybe the music might change from episode to episode. So we will just be talking about what makes you tick, what is important to you, and, of course, where you want to go. There are moments when conversations are lighthearted. Maybe we will banter, and some will be genuinely open and serious. So join us on this journey. Be curious.
Yeah, I think the big thing is I reached out to you, Zoe, in the day. I think we did a quick intro conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw you in the day while we have not really officially been introduced. At the end of the day, I did a lot of projects with Dad, your dad, and Jay. And, you know, it was fun. And I think I saw you in the room when I was in the Cincinnati office. But now you've moved on. I think that's where the conversation start. If that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
No. So I'm excited. You know, I've kind of watched your, you know, I'm introducing you. So at the end of the day, you know, the idea of, you know, what you did and get into your book, I know is a journey. If that makes mm-hmm. sense. And, you know, it's like, you know, you got an idea and I've worked with a lot of creatives that created songs and, you know, musicians and all that different type of thing. You know, it's never, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and go, I got an idea.
Yeah.
And then you wake up in the morning and then you spend, you know, 3 days trying to figure it out. So, yeah. So, you know, walk us through the journey of, you know, how you got from where you are today and now you're what, crowdsourcing, trying to finance and, you know, publish your book.
Yeah. So I guess it kind of starts with, I've always been a lover of fantasy books in general. Even as a kid, like I was reading Harry Potter and Percy Jackson and Aragorn and all of those great series. And I always found for me, the best way for me to express my love for those stories was through drawing. And that's, you know, why I went into fashion when I was in school and why I am an illustrator now.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, I never really thought I had any original stories to tell. But I was like, I was happy to make fan art. And, you know, when I'm reading, I'm visualizing all of these things happening. And I wanted to put that on a page. But, you know, I was doodling one day and I always enjoy drawing just characters and just kind of discovery sketching is kind of how I say it is. I don't really know what I'm planning on drawing sometimes. And I kind of just let, you know, the whim of the page and the whim of my brain just kind of work something up. And I had originally drawn these two sisters as like a little doodle or a sketch that ended up being right. The main characters for the book. So, and I really kind of fell in love with their character designs that I drew. And it was kind of that thing where it stuck on the brain and it started living there. And I couldn't quite get them out of my head. And so I decided to kind of make them a backstory. I was like, all right, well, who are these little characters? Who are they? And so I made them a backstory and that turned into the prologue of the book.
Right,
and
right.
I sent the prologue out to my little sister to read, who's also a big fan of fantasy books. And she gave me some really good feedback. And she was like, this is actually really good. And, obviously family bias. I was like, no. And she's like, no, don't be embarrassed by like your own creativity. Because I think a lot of times when us we like when people make something, there's like this embarrassment to share it with the world.
Yeah, some days they call it imposter syndrome.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
Yeah, it's not good
Like,
enough, or
but it's
even if
real.
you yeah, or even if you're proud of it, there's like a vulnerability of like letting other people into your own mind a little bit, especially with writing, because it's like, you're coming up with each and every one of those words, the dialogue, you're having these conversations in your head, you're making the story. And so, I always was like worried people would be like, oh no, what's wrong with Zoe? Like, is she like, but
No. I've gone through the same thing. I can relate. It's like, first time I did public speaking, I was probably a zombie with a microphone. And, then like on a podcast, you hear your voice. It's like, who's that? And, so you go through those phases, I think.
You
And,
definitely do.
I might drive you to a different conversation here, but
Okay.
I think between your personal project, how is this playing into your professional direction? That makes sense. I mean,
Yeah, I mean,
ask me questions. Yeah.
yeah. So I'm very lucky professionally to work in a family company. And our ultimate goal is to, grow our own creativity and to create our own intellectual property. So obviously, like our projects that we have are, top importance, but if there is spare time in my day, I can work on my book, and we're encouraged to, come up with new creative outlets and things like that. So I was very lucky in that sense to have a little extra motivation and a little extra time to work on the
Right.
book over the last year. But it definitely, having finished it, or near finishing it, having gotten funded and all of that, it definitely like put a new spark in me that I never, a year ago, I would never have thought, yeah, I might be a writer someday and I might have a published book. Like, if you had told me that, like, I would have called you crazy. So, yeah.
Well, I'm in the same boat, at the end of the day. My project, I just call it memoirs, is kind of a escalation of going from family stories into family trees and old stories behind that. And now I've got my self-expression, writing style. And I was afraid, imposter syndrome, you want to call that. But at the end of the day, it's like, I just throw it out there. It's like, I don't care if you don't like it anymore. It's like, this is me. This is what I'm working on. And you can, I could say a lot of pungent terms, but it's like, if you don't like it, I really don't care because this is me. So, that's why I see in you, which is what I'm liking. And I think I reached out to you on a project. When was it? Anyway, it was a couple of years ago, and I was looking for an illustrator for a children's book. And now the children's book is like kind of evolved into, now I'm talking about me here. We
Yeah,
should be
no,
talking about
it's
Zoe. But at
good.
the end of the day, it just kind of grew out. It's like, this is what I'm writing about. This is what I see. This is what I want to talk about. And it just kind of went from a little project into a project that I call it memoirs. That's my project name. I've got a lot of good names. I actually bumped into a handful of friends at Random House that said, let's do this. Let's get you ghostwriter. It's like, it's all personal. It's like, what am I supposed to tell a ghostwriter? So, I think the journey. Sometimes you try to invent it yourself, and now I'm putting words into your mouth, but it's all about Zoe. It's like your expression.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, like for me, like what makes motivates me creatively is putting a smile on someone's face. And so while it is very much like, listen, like, you know, I might never sell another copy of this book, and that's okay, because even if that's the case, like, I'm super proud of the project itself, the things that I learned along the way, and like, there is so much to be gained and learned from the creative process. But you know, ultimately that goal is to share it with others, to spark that and kind of create a chain. But yeah, I mean, ultimately I think even if this had not, you know, had the same end result, like, I would have probably found my way to it and done it anyway.
No, perfect. Yeah, I expressed too much of myself in that, but so kind of at the end of the day, if I asked a question, is this kind of the end goal for now? Or is it a springboard for another idea?
I think it's more of a springboard,
Really?
honestly. I mean, I already have like a second book planned, so
All right.
yeah, I mean, I originally was gonna just wrap everything up in the one book. But as I was kind of trying to finish this one up and figure out the best way to wrap it and to make it a satisfying story, I was talking through it with my husband, and he like gave me an idea, and I was like, oh, that's such a great idea, but oh, you need another book to explore that. So I tied everything up for the most part with this book, but left little threads and things so that I can continue this project and continue it on. So
No, I think that's cool. I try to express myself, but at the end of the day, it's always like there's three projects, there's three ideas in your mind.
yeah.
So yeah, tell me more about your other half. He
Oh,
sounds
yeah.
like a creative. He's inspiring you,
He,
so that's probably good,
yeah.
hopefully.
We're very similar and very different at the same time. He's actually an engineer, but he's probably the most creative, artful engineer that I've ever met. But like one of our first dates, he took me to go painting a sunset on like little magnet canvases. And I was like, oh man, pressure, because he knows I'm an illustrator. So I'm like, I gotta do a good painting here. But then, you know, halfway through I checked and I looked over at his and I was like, oh my goodness, like, I got competition here. I gotta, oh no. Oh, I got a little Bob Ross
I know
next to
we're
me. So
always self-critical, right?
I know.
Like this is what I'm working on. I'm not sure where I'm going. It's like, oh, I look at your stuff. It's like, you nailed it.
Yeah. But no, he's super creative. He's been a great help, encouraging me to continue on with this project. It was actually his idea to put it on Kickstarter, and fund it that way. Because he's previously done Kickstarters for his own projects and things like that. So, he's definitely a perfect second half.
Oh, wow. So it's always great to have a sidekick in the room, but at the end of the day, you don't want to call them a sidekick because they're what do you want to call it? Influencer. They're feeding your ideas, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I know I'm
definitely
feeding the
like kind of
conversation, but
kindling the fire.
I've been there and done that. Through my past, I have found it just truly inspirational. And in now I'm complimenting your other half. Engineers. A lot of times they understand. I work with a lot of data scientists and people like that, and they're just actually brilliant musicians. It's like, those seven notes, whatever octave, actually inspires them and to do something different. They get, engineers are very creative.
They are, yeah.
You know,
It's
you,
like,
if you meet somebody at, an engineer at a party, they're very stoic and it's like, I don't get it. I only think in ones and zeros. And then you dig in and they are awesome. They really get it.
They
At least
do.
the creative process. Because that's what they're doing. They're creating the next generation of whatever they're working on.
And they got the math behind it, and it all goes over my head.
I know, I know, I know.
But yeah, no, it's great. He's a great second half, and it's like a perfect combination because, like, the things that I get excited about in the process, he'd rather, be like, no, we'll skip over, or not skip over, but like, happy to delegate that. And then the things that stress me out, the more business side and like figuring out the Kickstarter and all that, that's like his bread and butter. So he definitely helped me through a lot of those processes.
Yeah, just ones and zeros. It's like, don't worry about it. It's a process. Just plug in and see where it goes.
Yeah, so it's been
So
great. He
I think
definitely.
I'll go back to so what's Zoe 2.0 look like?
Ooh, I mean, I definitely think I mean, I love my career, so yeah, I don't plan on stopping what I do now, which is, working with the themed entertainment industry, working on museums and theme parks and corporate visitor centers, and working with my family, coming up with ideas for, the next guest experience. It's really rewarding to kind of see projects all the way through. And what's great about them is you get to learn something new with every project. Because you have to go and research that particular topic. And so I really love that. And it's kind of a constant source of inspiration. But I definitely do think Zoe 2.0 will continue to write, will continue to draw, and will continue to kind of build up intellectual property that, is, not motivated by an external client, I would say. So, yeah.
So what does writing look like for you? Are you, I see all your illustrations through social and what you've shared. But what does writing look like for you? You got a
I mean,
story, you've got a novel, who knows?
yeah, so it is a novel. And I would say writing, it wasn't the most natural, but I always have been writing. I didn't really realize it. It's like hindsight is 2020, but a lot of what we do for creative principles and our guest experiences is writing. We're writing the story of the guest experience. And so I got a lot of practice in that sense. And I think honestly, too, having been a and still am a big fantasy nerd, reading books themselves has really taught me how to write because I kind of borrow and gain inspiration from the style of writing and the story, composition and like beat that of the books that I love. And so honestly, that was probably my biggest teacher is just reading other stories. And so I would say, I try and write like I am visualizing it unfolding in my head. And so, sometimes I have a plan for how a scene might play out, or sometimes I don't, and I'll just be staring out one line and being like, what would this person say next? But I try and, as I write, I usually am visualizing everything that I'm writing in my head. And so it's really, honestly, a very fun process. It's like making your own movie. So,
So is it more of a journalism process, or do you get just really crisp ideas that you run with?
yeah, I would say, I mean, there's definitely some research and journalism type process in there, but most of it is honestly like me imagining myself like back in the director's chair, and there's like the scene playing out in front of me. And if I ultimately the story is like I wanted to write the story that I wanted to read as a 12 to 15 year old. And so I was like kind of putting myself back into that director's chair as 15-year-old Zoe and being like, all right, well, what would make me super excited, or what would make me laugh, or what could come next that, would make me go, oh, have the little giddy moment. And so that's kind of how a lot of the writing process went. And then also, putting now in my older experience in how to format that story into something that's satisfying to read. So
Well, I think it's funny. You can see my face at the end of the day. I always say, my daughters taught me well. In fact, they raised me. So at the end of the day, I think the great comment there is, my writing style is more about, grabbing a persona out of a situation and, writing from that perspective. So, it's always fun because you can be so creative. It's like, oh, that lawn chair now can have, swords and dragons, and you can do whatever you want with that. But at the end of the day, it's like, what did some, what in that particular, it's almost like taking a photo and saying, what happened in the background of this photo that nobody can see? That's kind of my writing style, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that, kind of finding the story within that nobody's really looking at.
And you can be creative. At the end of the day, it's reality based, and you bring it back together. And what did the sun see today? What did the lawn chair see today? What did the fence see today? And it's a ton of fun. So I'm overexposing myself. And this is really supposed to be all about Zoe.
Oh, good. I like that though.
So I'm not sure where to take this. I'm really inspired by, what you're doing with your current work. Like I asked about 2.0, and it's like if you can share if there's a second book or maybe a separate inspiration. Where are you going with that?
Well, I guess kind of talking about the inspiration just kind of goes back to the first book a little bit. So I was inspired by the drawings of the characters. And I'm a big fantasy nerd, but being in Savannah, Georgia and learning about the history here and how it's, an old port town that's known for pirates and all of that, like I found a lot of inspiration there. And some of my favorite movies are the Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy. And so I wanted to write a pirate story because thinking back on like what I was reading when I was, in like 12 to 15, it was Hunger Games, it was Percy Jackson, it was Harry Potter, which are all great stories, but I never found a pirate one. And I'm sure there are some out there, but I wanted to kind of write the story that I wanted to have read when I was that age and, make it a story that could be enjoyed by hopefully families together. Made the chapter short. So, if you're a parent reading to a kid, it's like a good bedtime story length or and there's pictures and all kinds of stuff. So I really wanted to combine like all of my talents into this project. And I also wanted to make it like a heartwarming story that was, funny and something that like parents could be happy that their kids were reading or that they were reading together. And so it is like a very family focused story. It's about two sisters who are trying to reunite their family. Their mom has been wrongfully imprisoned. And so they've been on their own for a few years, but they're something happens and they have an opportunity to go try and rescue her. So
Interesting,
yeah. But yeah, it's been a really fun story to write, and there's a lot of themes of second chances and found family versus family by blood and all kinds of stuff like that. So
All right, so are you using history versus fantasy to write?
it's a little bit of both. I would say it's a very loose historical story. But it definitely is inspired by kind of the golden age of piracy. And it's a fairly grounded story, except for there is one type of magic. So there's no dragons or anything like that. Like it's a fairly normal world, except for the fact that the Navy has this magical ability to control the weather, and it's called wind singing.
Oh,
And
interesting.
so, yeah, and so the certain people within the Navy can windsing and can control the weather, which is very helpful for ships. You can go faster,
Yeah.
you can control the wind and create storms to ward off pirates and all kinds of crazy stuff. So, but they're very stingy with that magic, and they only have a little bit of it. It's not something that you're born with. You have to have it like passed along. And so there's this school where, the best of the best train to be next in line to get that wind singing power.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, I was going to say something totally different just to ask a question. So you're in Savannah and just north. I've been there and
Okay.
walked through was it Beaufort, South
Oh
Carolina,
yeah. Yep.
which is supposed to be the home port for Blackbeard. And you
Not
know
too
there's
far off.
lots of stories going on there, and you know the island with the wild horses. And it's a ton of fun to be there. But yeah, everything you talked about, it's like, yeah. And so you've been up there? That might
I
be some
have,
good
yes.
research.
I mean, I've been to Beaufort, I've been to Savannah, I've been to Charleston, and I mean, I've dressed up as a pirate many a times for either Halloween or
I,
there's a
yes.
pirate festival on Tybee Island every year. So, yeah, but I again in this book, pirates are always kind of known as like they're like terrible but also awesome, and so there's like that fascination with them. And I definitely the pirates in my story are the bad guys, but there's a lot of kind of that the main characters will still have that like on the run from the Navy feel. So it's a lot of
Well,
fun.
interesting. So what does the pirate mean to you? Why do you where's your interest or the reflection? Why does it become the focus of some of your
Yeah.
thoughts? Does that make
That's a
sense?
good question.
Sorry.
I think, yeah, no, it's a good question. I would say I've always been like a beachy kind of person. Like if you ask me where I want to go on vacation, it's to the beach. So, and now, I live here, and so there's definitely an inspiration of that where it's like, I'm kind of in the bread and butter of pirate territory, I guess you could say. And so I find a lot of inspiration there just walking through downtown Savannah. And as a designer, I find like aesthetics and themes very fun. And so it's I would say like it's a fun theme for me to imagine and to draw. And it's like it's the perfect combination of fantasy meets the beach for me.
Yeah.
So and those are like some of my top two passions, I would say, are like fantasy books and the beach. And so it's just a fun combination. And I mean, I think Pirates of the Caribbean, those movies definitely are a high influence for me as well. My siblings and I, we would like rewatch them every 3 months just because they're just a good time. And I think pirates have that like connotation. They're kind of terrible people when you really get down to the nitty-gritty of it, but
Yeah.
they're always known for being kind of having a good time and doing what they want and having the freedom. So there's definitely like some fun to be had when it comes to pirate stories. So.
Yeah, we got about 10 minutes left on this recording session.
Okay.
But the curiosity that just pops out on me is I don't want to use the word pop culture, but it's like, you know, what we think pirates are all about, and you know, how you relate to them. Have you ever been out on a tall ship? Do you know what I'm talking
A
about?
top tip.
Going up sail,
I
double two
honestly
masts, three
haven't.
masts, a
I
cutter.
would love to. I've been on, so Savannah used to have like a pirate ship that would pull into the port, but I've never been up on the mast. But I've seen pictures of like the perspective of it, and it's insane.
Yeah, I think that if you haven't done that yet, you should try it.
I would love
I've
to
been
try
up
it,
there, and
honestly.
it's just, the world, I'm not sure what the words I should use, it's how the ship navigates. And there's a whole different structure, which you all already talked about, on how the ships get from point A to point B. There's tacking if you put on small boats, but at the end of the day, it's incredible and how people live. And I think it's kind of a great background if you're thinking about pirates. It's like, hey, if they lived on ships, how'd they live? And it's a whole
I
different
definitely
world.
is for yeah, in terms of like the journalism type research that I've done for this book, it's been a lot of trying to figure out, what would life on a ship actually be like? What were they eating? What were their jobs? How long did it take to get from port to port? How tall was the mast and things like that? There's a scene in the book where one of the main characters is afraid of heights and they have to go up and, help furl the sails. And I was like, oh my gosh, can't even imagine. And so, yeah, there's all kinds of really cool stuff that I learned. And the magic itself is weather-based as well. So I delved into weather, how it works, and all kinds of stuff like that too. So.
Yeah, sailing a ship is definitely a team effort.
Yes.
And you can read all the scurvy and all the other backgrounds on how it is to sail from a ship from Europe to the US and then go ahead and be a pirate. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of personal stuff that goes on that nobody wants to talk about, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. So we don't get too into the nitty-gritty of all that in the book. It's, it's still a fantasy tale after all, but yeah, I mean, I definitely did a lot of research and put some of that in. And it was a lot of fun to learn just a little bit about how all of that worked and, have, while it's not a, I wouldn't call it a historical fiction, but, there is a lot of historical influence in there. So.
No, I think that's important to what you're working on. That's why I asked about Zoe 2.0. It's like I think there's another story here I haven't heard, so.
Ah, well, thank you. But
So
yeah, I'm
I think it's
excited.
probably a good time to wrap up. I like to do these podcasts, 20, 30 minutes. And at the end of the day, if there's something else that you want to promote or say something out loud, it's a good time. But we're
So
at
yeah,
that.
it was the book itself, we went on Kickstarter with it in December, and we had a successful campaign. We got over 200% funded, and we're actually getting an audiobook now for it, and I'm super
Cool.
excited about that. So yeah, we'll have digital, paperback, hardcover, and an audiobook available for it. And so I'm thrilled about that prospect because, there's plenty of people out there who love to listen to stories but don't necessarily have the time to sit down and read them. And there's a we found a great narrator for it, and I'm really excited about it.
Good, good. Well, I don't eat off of my skills then. That's what I do sometimes is just do audio recordings for the audiobooks.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that.
But if you got you've got it done, that's good. Not self-promoting, but at the end of the day, I am
Oh,
looking
that's
forward because that's my natural consumption on
awesome.
audiobooks now. I find a
That
great
was
book. It's
definitely.
like I'm in the shower, I'm driving. It's like I just rather listen. I can't read.
So that was definitely, I was very motivated and excited to get the funding for that. And then, where the book itself is in its copy editing stage, and so we'll soon have it off to the audiobook recorder. And I'm working on the illustrations and the layout right now, and we're looking at a May release. So we're really excited about that. But the Kickstarter is also still live for late backers as well.
Wow. Zoe, I'm excited.
Thank
This
you.
was a
I'm excited as
cool
well.
conversation. I can't tell you. I think we touched on all the good points. Like I said, Zoe 2.0, just figured out how you went from where you were to getting today and where you want to go tomorrow. And
Thank you.
I love this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I had a
And
blast
I'm
as
gonna cut
well.
this short at the end of the day. We're gonna get cut off anyway. So this part will be you and I will share this video and audio. You can self-promote it where you want.
Okay.
And you can cut out what David says is wrong. That's okay.
Nah, it's all good. No, this was a great time. Thank you for having me.
No, I'm excited. It's like I said, our initial conversations, like I know your dad, he just totally impressed me. And then I found out that you were exploring your creative side. It's like, cool, I gotta talk to Zoe.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And
Yeah.
it's been a really fun, we were talking about the journey earlier. It's been a really fun journey, so I've
Yeah,
learned a
yeah.
lot.
Oh, as they call it a journey. It's not
Yeah.
done yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
we're just
I'll cut us off here. But Zoe,
beginning.
best with you. I'm glad we had this conversation. Keep me in your interest if you've got something that you want to talk about.
Yeah, that would be
I can
great.
help, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm talking to creatives all day long, so at the end of the day.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Zoe, no problem. All right, enjoy your
Well,
weekend.
thank you. Have a great
All right,
weekend.
cheers.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
This is a Courage to Rise production. I am your host, David Kahneman. Audio is engineered by Audacity. You can find video on YouTube where the guest permissions are granted. Different music per episode are copyrighted by Arnett Howard, Boomshank, Max Marcello, Tears for Fears, Bruce Springsteen, Naomi, and Sammy Ray and Friends. Continue your journey and join us next time to be curious. Sale, 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 sale su, e a chi ci vuole male, 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 una mamma.